Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Brian Levin, who's a criminologist, civil rights attorney, professor of criminal justice, and director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University San Bernardino, where he specializes in analysis of hate crimes, terrorism, and legal issues. Previously, Professor Levin served as associate director of legal affairs of the Southern Poverty Law Center's Klan Watch Militia Task Force in Montgomery, Alabama. He was also a New York City police officer in Harlem and Washington Heights sections of Manhattan during the crack wars of the 1980s. Welcome to Background Briefing, Brian Levin.
Thank you so much for having me, Ian.
And your previous organization, the Southern Poverty Law Center, have released The Year in Hate and Extremism, a report capping 4 years of explosive growth sparked by the election of America's first black president and anger over the economy. And, of course, the number of conspiracy-minded anti-government patriot groups have reached an all-time high of 1,360 in 2012. And while the number of hardcore hate groups remained at 1,000. So this rage on the right has obviously intensified under President Obama. And there was, of course, this filibuster that took place by Rand Paul was celebrated by a lot of people on the left. But it's worth reminding people that a lot of the audience that resonated with are on the right, and some of them are in these anti-government militia groups. So what's going on here in this left-right confusion?
And thank you so much for having the vision to look at this in a broad context as well. So let me take that point first, and that is we have mass discontent with the way institutions in the United States are performing, and that includes Congress, the president, local government, the media, and the courts. We are near modern historic lows with respect to confidence in these various institutions. So put an overlap with that, or an intertwining, if you will, of people coming from different perspectives. On the left, there were those who saw the issue with regard to Iraq as an example where the government was not forthcoming. Then you had 9/11 and conspiracy theorists on all sides. On top of that, put in an economic crisis, immigration, and the diversification of our demographic characteristics. And on top of that, we now have the first African-American president who is putting forth a pretty moderate progressive agenda at best. And no matter where you are on the political spectrum, there will be people who are now very sympathetic towards a distrust of government, and with that, conspiracy theories, in part because the government has not performed exactly in a stellar manner.
But Brian Levin, the thing that I find troubling is that this is increasing alienation towards the government, both on the left and the right. And on the left, people tend to be passive. They just sort of drop out and don't participate in the political process, which then, of course, yields the field to the political right. But on the right, they are clearly far more active and, I would say, more dangerous. And that's what the Southern Poverty Law Center's report is talking about. You know, as much as the people on the left think Rand Paul is a hero at the moment because of his stand on drones, he's also pushing heavily against this idea that Obama wants to take your guns away. And there's so many beliefs on the right that are just completely unfounded, unhinged, that Obama is an interloper, a Muslim from Kenya. There's a whole kind of toxic stew of delusion out there that I find really scary.
You know, I hate it when you make your points better than your intended guest. You are exactly right, and I think that while there is a similarity with regard to the fact that there are conspiracists and people who are disenchanted with government on both sides, I think you made a very key point with regard to the extreme right. And I'm not talking about people of goodwill who happen to have been Romney supporters. I think we're seeing something here, and that is there is a folklore on the extreme right that panders to some of the more intolerant viewpoints with regard to demographic change, number one. Number two, there's also this very key point about the right to bear arms, which with some on the far right goes to illogical extremes that even stand in the face of Scalia's constitutional analysis of things. On top of that, put in the fact that unlike the Democrats and the left, who have a leader who has a bully pulpit who can kind of try and rein in and direct where the public policy analysis goes. In other words, we have a president, we have a Speaker of the House. The Republican and right wing is much more fractured. And what that allows is a sliver of folks like Congressman Gohmert from Texas or Rand Paul as well to appear to have one foot in bordering on the extreme and one foot in the mainstream. That being said, I think that Senator Paul hit a nerve with regard to a growing distrust of overarching government authority in the name of national security. And while a lot of people on the left don't like him as a messenger, the fact is he certainly acted, as my friend Mark Potok would have said, a transmitter for some general discontent which goes over from the mainstream into the extreme as well. And I think there's a danger there because, as you said, on the left, a lot of the folks are dropping out or being ignored. We have a small sliver that are involved in the eco-terror movement, but that's much smaller. On the right, what we're seeing is people who are politically engaged but holding on to these conspiracy theories, whether it be about Obama or guns or whatever else. Then you have folks that are dropping out, just as there are on the left. But you also have this dangerous extremity which relates to the militias. And that we're not really seeing on the left. In other words, these groups that are arming themselves. And that, so we have kind of a tripartite danger. One, that there is a sliver of the Republican Party or mainstream conservatism which is increasingly embracing these kind of extremist views. Number two, we have folks who are dropping out, as we've seen on the left. And number three, we have these militia groups. Not, by the way, most of these militia groups are benign, but the mere fact that we have armed groups running around embracing conspiracy theories and various types of intolerance is troubling.
Again, I'm speaking with Brian Levin, who's a criminologist, civil rights attorney, professor of criminal justice, and director of the Center for Hate and Extremism at California State University, San Bernardino. He previously served as the associate director of legal affairs of the Southern Poverty Law Center's Klan Watch Militia Task Force in Montgomery, Alabama. And last week, the Southern Poverty Law Center released its annual Hate Watch report, which is what we're talking about here. And in terms of Rand Paul being a kind of a lightning rod here for both the left and the right in his 13-hour talking filibuster, which in many ways was very helpful to bring up the issue of drones and targeted assassination. But again, as much as he was appreciated by people on the left who feel passionately about the use of drones by the government, he did venture into territory that was pretty... Now, by the way, the Obama administration has not been forthcoming, and I think their attitude towards him, particularly the letter from Holder, was kind of patronizing, which ended the filibuster. But a couple of the things he said, both he and Ted Cruz, who's another one of these anti-government guys on the right, they both have suggested that somehow you could be sitting in a cafe in San Francisco and get zapped by the United States government. And that drew an angry response from both Senator McCain and Lindsey Graham. So is this going to lead somewhere, or is this just basically political confusion?
You know, there's something going on here, because on the one hand, let me not dismiss people as loose cannons or nuts or anything like that. Here's what I think is so interesting. There is a legitimate debate going on about what is the role of the government with respect to our privacy and with respect to our own personal security. I think everyone can agree with that. What I find is so interesting is that the vehicle by which this debate is coming into the foreground is through something that is really looked at by the extremists. And that is, in other words, this whole drone thing has been a wildly hot topic in the extremist world. So why they would use the instrumentality of drones as their central focus on an overall legitimate topic of public debate, to me, is incredibly interesting and perhaps a bit scary. Senator Cruz is actually a highly intelligent attorney who has a background in constitutional law and has written Supreme Court briefs. So one would think, for instance, that he would know what the rules are with regard to the government use of force, particularly domestically. So what's interesting is how these legitimate topics of debate get intertwined with folks and hot points from the extreme world. And that's something I wish I could articulate better. In other words, why are we debating this very important macro topic from a position that is the least likely to immediately happen, and one that, while admittedly something that perhaps we should look at, is a bit on the tangents right now? Certainly, drones are becoming an increasingly talked about and utilized asset by Department of Homeland Security and law enforcement. But it would seem that the debate, if there is one, for CIA head, would go to things like internet scrutiny or business records and a variety of other things relating to the use of force beyond that merely being fixated on drones in particular. And that, I think, because drones have a currency, because they're part of the popular culture. And I think in some ways that while Rand Paul's position is a sincere one, it seems to me that there's something that just doesn't smell right about having drones be the topic of a filibuster with respect to the incoming head of the CIA when there are so many issues with respect to personal liberty and protection beyond merely that of drones. Drones is a very hot topic, an effective image, but it by no means is the main thing that would threaten Americans' personal civil liberties right at this moment.
Well, the Attorney General, Eric Holder, did answer Senator Cruz, his hypothetical about zapping somebody drinking coffee. And he said, well, first of all, it doesn't even sound like there's grounds to arrest this person, let alone assassinate them with a government weaponized drone. So what Paul and what Cruz and company are saying are so over the top. And that's what concerns me, is that so much of these Alex Jones people who also made the film about the 9/11 truthers use, the loose change, he's screaming about taking our guns away. These people are quite deranged, I think, in their delusions about government intrusion, which is, the opposite is happening. There's a proliferation of guns. There's no chance in the world that anybody's going to take their guns away. So that's what concerns me, is that the proportionality is being lost here, and that the left are asleep, not recognizing the dangers of the right.
That very well may be the case, but let me play a little bit of devil's advocate. And as someone who is an admirer of President Obama here, And that is that these questions should have been really answered by the administration before giving a platform to somebody else to ask them. And what that did was, I think exactly as you said, it played into a folklore about the extreme purpose of private firearm ownership, which is some way to be unlimited and to be a complete barrier to equal in some way to what is available to the government. So if the government has drones, therefore we can have anti-aircraft guns. You see my point. And I do think, though, that, and again, this is from an admirer of the president, is that the president really did not address the legitimate questions that were out there with regard to national security and how that impacts on personal liberty to the extent that it satisfied both people on the left and the right, thereby giving someone like Senator Paul the opportunity to then frame the issue in a way that would not only appeal, in fact, it was kind of brilliant, appeal to the left, appeal to libertarians, but also appeal to those extremists who believe that, unlike other fundamental rights, the Second Amendment enables you to own any weapon you want, anytime, anywhere. And I think in some ways the administration dropped the ball on this by not answering legitimate questions about what the government can and cannot do. And one of them came up with regard to Anwar al-Awlaki, who was killed on September 30th, 2011, in a drone strike in Yemen. And there are plenty of reasons that the president could have given that were distinguishable from the kind of more fantasy one about using drones to just sit, you know, hit somebody in a cafe somewhere who he didn't like his political views. Anwar al-Awlaki was involved in not only rhetoric, but involved in a foreign-based terrorist organization that was involved in multiple attempts to strike the American homeland, of which he was supporting that. And he was inaccessible to American authorities. That's vastly different than hitting someone with a drone in a cafe. It may still not be fully defensible from a constitutional standpoint. I'll leave that for others. But it is at least factually distinguishable from what has been put up on the internet and then kind of embraced by these mainstream politicians. So perhaps the administration could have been more effective in saying, look, these are the limitations that we have, and talking about it in a more public manner.
Well, Brian Levin, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Ian, as always, thank you so much. It is such a pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Brian Levin, who's a criminologist, civil rights attorney, professor of criminal justice, and director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University, San Bernardino, where he specializes in the analysis of hate crimes, terrorism, and legal issues. And previously, Professor Levin served as associate director of legal affairs of the Southern Poverty Law Center's Klan Watch Militia Task Force in Montgomery, Alabama. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.